Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church this morning. Please feel free again to peruse the announcements in your bulletin. Does anybody have any announcements? All right, excellent. Well, God's blessings on your worship. Please join in singing our opening hymn, number 645.
Built on the rock, the church does stand, even when steeples are falling, crumbled have spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling, calling the young and old to rest, but above all the souls distressed, longing for rest everlasting.
I invite you to please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You open your hand
and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving.
Make melody to our God on the lyre.
He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth.
He makes grass grow on the hills.
He gives to the beasts their food,
and to the young ravens their cry.
His delight is not in the strength of the horse,
nor his pleasure in the legs of a man.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him,
in those who hope in his steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You open your hand.
You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high, let us pray. Heavenly Father,
though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistles from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off to have been brought near, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5. And 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed printed on the back inside cover of your hymnal. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. If there are any children that would like to come up for the children's sermon, please feel free to do so now. Well, good morning. How are you all doing today? You're doing good today? Excellent. Well, in our reading today, we have kind of a famous story. Have you heard of the story of when Jesus feeds 5,000 people with bread and fish? Yeah, what happens? What does he do? More, that's true, it was more than, it says 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and the children there, huh? That's a lot of people. You did, yeah. So what does Jesus do? The people there are all hungry, and so what does Jesus do? He feeds them, right? Yep. Do you have people in your life that feed you? Yeah, who feeds you? Who feeds you?
My grandma and grandpa, my mom and dad.
Grandma and grandpa, mom and dad. We have all sorts of people in this world that feed us. Yeah?
My grandma, once she cut her hand and she had a stitches, and me and my brother, we helped my mom make, we helped my grandpa make nachos.
Oh, I love nachos.
That boy ever?
Yeah. Nachos are the best. Yep, that's one of my favorite things to eat are nachos. Yeah. Yeah, so just like the people in the story in our Bible reading today, do we get hungry sometimes? Yeah, we get hungry a lot. Maybe some of you are hungry right now and looking forward to the food and the ice cream after church today. Yeah, we're going to eat then too, aren't we? Yeah. Are you starving right now? Yeah, so yeah, even today Jesus gives us people to feed us and make sure that we have enough to eat and to drink because he loves us very much. And he loves us so much that he makes sure that our bodies have the things that we need to live. And he also loves us so much that you know what he did? I know you know what he did. Did he die on the cross for us? Yeah, he did. Yep, he makes sure that we have what we need for our bodies, and he makes sure that we also have what we need for our spirits. So everything that we need, Jesus gives to us, doesn't he? Yep. Well, can we pray? Can you pray with me? All right, can you fold your hands? Say,
Dear God,
thank you so much
for giving us
all the things that we need
for our body
and for our soul.
In
your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. Please join us in singing our sermon hymn, number 644.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from joined her of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful Jesus rent asunder by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. The tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystics with communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face.
Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Like sheep without a shepherd. That's how Jesus describes the crowds that gathered to hear him in the Gennesaret Valley, this truly desolate place along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, as Mark tells it. He had just sent out his disciples, two by two, telling them to go out in the towns and villages of Galilee to preach and to cast out demons and to bring nothing with them but to trust in God and in the generosity of those to whom they were sent. And so his disciples had gone out, they'd preached the good news, they'd cast out demons, they'd healed the sick, and now after a short interlude describing the death of John the Baptist, which we heard last week, his disciples returned to him, and they set out in a boat in search of a desolate place. A place perhaps that they can pray, rest, and regroup as they prepare to continue to carry on Jesus' preaching ministry throughout the region. But it seems the word has gone out. I mean, after all, how could a group of men cast out demons and heal the sick? How could that not attract lots of attention? And so the crowd, seeing the boat that Jesus and his companions are in from the shore, they quickly determine where they'll likely make landfall, and they hurry. They run, Mark tells us, to the spot where Jesus is heading and wait for him to come ashore. And when he does, Jesus sees them. And rather than be annoyed, he has compassion on them. Jesus compares them to sheep, and like sheep, they're helpless, without a good and faithful shepherd to lead them, to make sure that they are fed and protected, that predators are kept at bay, that the sick ones are cared for, and that the lost ones are found. These are people near and dear to Jesus' heart. Not only are they mostly fellow Jews, but they're fellow Galileans, far from the temple in Jerusalem and dependent on the synagogues to teach them the word of God. These are the people of the country, many of them poor, some of them sick, all of them in need of God's attention. And, you know, for the record, it's not like there wasn't anyone else claiming to be a shepherd over God's people in those days. The religious authorities and teachers, the Pharisees, the rabbis, the priests, they had received and accepted the charge to teach and to guard God's word. And to be fair, some did better than others. It's not like there were no faithful Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus. But by and large, those who had received God's commission had been negligent in their duty. They either cared little for the people they shepherded, or they simply didn't understand God's word enough to perform the task. As Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, after Nicodemus fails to grasp Jesus' words, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" The teaching of God's word had become anemic, more concerned with laws about foods and the Sabbath than in proclaiming the love and faithfulness of God. And so Jesus looks out at all these people, the massive crowd of 5,000 men and likely many more once you count the women and the children, and he sees a flock with no shepherd, a temple with no priest, a nation with no king. And as he sees this lost people gathered in this desolate place, he's moved to compassion. Jesus then sits down and began to teach him. He teaches them many things right there. He didn't suggest they move to more comfortable quarters. It'd be a moot point anyhow, considering how large the crowd had grown. No, he remains right there with them in the desolate place, the type of place that ancient Israel usually associated with ravenous predatory animals and roaming evil spirits, and he teaches them the word of God. He sees their need and he meets it in the place where they all are, while sharing with them under an unforgiving sun, exposed to the heat and to the wind and to the dust. A good king doesn't seek better quarters while his people suffer outside of the gates among their enemies, but he plants his standard and holds court among them. A good shepherd doesn't seek refuge from the weather while his sheep are exposed and threatened, but he camps with them, letting them hear his voice so that they can be comforted by his presence. And so Jesus, being their king and their good shepherd, remains close to his flock and comforts them with his words and teaches them about the things of God. Or at least he does until the hour begins to grow late. We read, "And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" In other words, "Jesus, these people came out from all over to hear your teachings, and we've been at it for quite a while now, and it's getting kind of late. We don't have the resources to feed them, and they'll stay here and go hungry if you let them. So send them back home so they won't go hungry." As if Jesus needs to be told. A good king doesn't need to be told to feed his people any more than a good shepherd needs to be told to feed his sheep. But Jesus' answer is surprising. Rather than sending the disciples to go out and buy food, a very costly proposition, as his disciples point out, Jesus simply says, "You give them something to eat. I am the shepherd. You serve me. and there are hungry sheep to feed. So go feed them. The fifth commandment requires that we help and support our neighbor in every physical need, and that includes feeding him when he's hungry. So make it happen. Now, the disciples' response is understandably incredulous. You'll feed them with what? They don't have enough money or time to buy food for all these people, and they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish among them. And that's where the disciples seem to understand, to misunderstand. When Jesus told them to feed his people, they merely looked at what they had, the money they had among themselves, instead of going to Jesus for what they needed. And so Jesus takes the bread. He blesses it. And has his disciples pass out the food. So much food that there were 12 full baskets left over. According to the text, Jesus never actually hands anyone a piece of bread or a fish, but simply gave the disciples everything they needed to do the work that he had commanded them to do. The people were fed and satisfied from the hands of Christ to the disciples, and then from the disciples to the people. The task that Jesus asked of them was something that they themselves could never have accomplished on their own, and yet Jesus gave them everything they needed to accomplish what he asked. You know, as I was examining and thinking about this text during the week, it was impossible not to think about, well, you all, this congregation and the task before it. I mean, sooner or later, a pastor is, according to God's will and through the Holy Spirit, going to be sought out and called to serve among you in the name of Christ. This is a serious business, both for the pastor and for you as the congregation. I've been on both sides of that process, and I know that it can be long, and anxiety can very easily run rampant among both parties. The text also brought to mind the vicar that will be serving among you soon. Indeed, he's already here. An under-shepherd in training, here to learn how to embrace the immense responsibility of the office that serves in Christ's stead. And again, having gone through this process, I know that it's easy to fall back into the mindset of the disciples in our reading this morning. From the congregation's perspective, questions arise like, how old is he? Does he have any experience? Is he married? Does he have young children? Does he have the skills and temperament to lead and God willing to grow our church? From the aspiring pastor's perspective, the questions that they're usually along the lines of, will the congregation like me? Will I get along with the elders? Will the salary be enough to support my family? Is there a rift or an argument going on in the congregation that I'm about to walk into completely unaware of? Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 reminds us that while the needs of the people and the requirements of the shepherds are seemingly insurmountable, we don't need to be anxious or afraid because Jesus himself gives us what we need. Indeed, he knows our needs better than we do ourselves. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells his followers, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Our heavenly Father knows exactly what you need, and he's not about to give you a rock when you ask him for bread. We're not to be anxious or worried about these things, but to pray that his will be done among everyone involved and trust that he will meet this great need, as well as all of our other needs of body and soul. For you as the congregation, he knows that you need to be fed, not only with physical food, but with the word of God, because man does not live by bread alone. Thus, you can engage in our church's usual call process with a glad and a joyful heart, knowing that that need will be met. For the aspiring pastor, the Lord knows that as talented as this man may be, he doesn't have it within him to minister faithfully to God's people left to his own devices. Nevertheless, he can enter into this office joyfully and confident, knowing that Jesus will give him all that he needs to feed you all, just as he gave the disciples all that they needed to feed the crowd. You and he can be confident that it is not the pastor that gives the good gifts, it is Christ himself who uses that pastor to give you all you need for everlasting life, even Jesus' very body and blood placed into your hands as the words of Christ have been spoken to you from the pulpit. In John chapter 23, Jesus is speaking with Peter, and he once again asks the impossible of him. He says, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." The same words spoken at the feeding of the 5,000, but now more than dinner is at stake. Now life itself is on the line, and the cost of failure is much higher. And yet, just as before, Jesus will give Peter everything he needs to accomplish this task. Just as he gives to pastors, just as he gives to you. Jesus is not about to abandon you to the desolate places, but instead he comes to you. He comes to you in his word and his sacrament and gives you all of these things through the hands of a sinful man, so that you are able to know with full confidence that what you are receiving is none other than the things of God, not of man, and that God himself dwells among you in his word, in the preaching, in the waters of baptism, in the gifts given at this altar. That is why, although the time for convening the call committee may be a ways off, it is never too early to pray for your next pastor, as there is nothing that pastors covet more than the prayers of the congregation. And I encourage you to do so, and for your future vicar as well, that God would equip them to in turn equip you, to feed you in the stead and in the name and by the command of Christ, trusting that God in his mercy will never leave you or forsake you, and that you will always follow in the footsteps of Jesus, your faithful and loving shepherd. In his name. Amen. We stand for the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your compassion shown in Christ Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep and the righteous Son of David. Keep us trusting at all times in your right hand, in whom true satisfaction is found. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of Israel, you promised to set caring shepherds over the sheep of your pasture. Drive away deceitful shepherds who scatter your flock and gather your sheep into your heavenly kingdom by the hands of pious and faithful men whom you send in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' compassion for the crowd, he provided bread and fish until all had eaten their fill and were satisfied. Give us our daily bread according to your will. Help us to use the gifts that you have given us to care for those who are hungry and in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly King, you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us good government and faithful rulers, while reminding us always that all provision comes from you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your constant care and all we need to support this body and life. Attend to those in need among us, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Justin, and the family of Vernon von Dalen. Free them from dismay and fear by the certainty that Christ is their righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son once set a feast in a desolate place, miraculously multiplying loaves and fish to feed a multitude. Through the miracle of the Holy Supper, he continues to bless and give us a heavenly feast, his very body and blood for our forgiveness. Give us faith as we meet him at his table, that we may greet him always as the Lord our righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you, O Lord,
that you have made us fellow citizens with the saints in light. Keep us in the true faith for as long as you preserve us in this world, that we would hopefully and eagerly await the day when we stand in your presence with them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is me.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God.
Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you.
Grant us thy peace.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith and to life everlasting. Go in his joy and in his peace. Amen. I invite you to please stand. Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith and to life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
We sing our closing hymn, number 909.